Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Box. Here comes Wayne for the bomb. Watch to the East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer, at the wall,
take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
First down for Tampa Bay. They needed that completion to Ben, and now they get a good run from Blunt. He won't go down. LeGarrette Blunt, what a run! One of the best of the year, LeGarrette Blunt, all the way, and he broke.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all.
Got him
at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiffer got him three to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Stiffer's going off in New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
Four-man run. Eli throwing into traffic on the sideline. They're going to rule it a catch by Manningham. Along the sideline, they're going to spot the ball at the 50-yard line.
That's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
What's going on, everybody? You know what those beautiful sounds are, and that is the sounds of football. It is another beautiful Thursday night, and Hootie is not in as at the moment, but is reporting live with the Zen Man. And another edition of the Southern Sports Wrap. We have a lot to talk about today, a lot of football, obviously, and a lot of baseball as well. This is the kind of type of year where NFL is starting and baseball is finishing. And it's fair to say both are equally exciting. But let's kick it off with my top news. Speaking of the NFL, it started yesterday, as a matter of fact, the Cowboys and the Giants. And the Cowboys beat the Giants. And we'll get into that a little bit later with, some stats and all that good stuff. In baseball, there is a tight race in the AL East. As of yesterday, the Yankees had a one-game lead on the Orioles. Rays, I believe, were a game and a half back. So it's a three-team race right there in the AL. And obviously a couple of those teams, all three could potentially make it. Like I said, there's two wild card spots this year. But we've got about 20 games left, so definitely it should be a fun race to watch. Obviously there's other races around the league as well. So we'll get into those standings a little bit later in the show. Brian Urlacher, linebacker of the Bears, says that he will be playing this Sunday. He's been battling an injury, but he says he's going to play. And he's the type of guy, if he says he's going to play, he probably will. Another injured player, Jason Witten, fighting a spleen injury. He did play last night, the whole game, for the Cowboys. So no more questionable on him. He looks fine. And as long as the injury didn't get it worse, which I doubt it did, he should be fine for the rest of the season. Also, in last night's game was the first game where replacement referees started, the regular season. Obviously, that was a big talk. The real referees are in a lockout, and we talked about how stupid that was last show, but the replacement referees, obviously they've had a lot of, they've been, talked about so much during the preseason, but they seem to be not a problem. They seem to play all right. Not every call is perfect, but they did pretty well. I mean, it's definitely not their fault. I mean, they get hounded and laughed at a lot, but it's not their fault. They were thrown in the position. it's the NFL's fault for putting him in that position. So, and such short notice at that. But like I said, not too big of a deal last night. We'll see how it goes into the weekend. Obviously, they're a big part of the game, so hopefully it doesn't impact the game too much. Random news, Justin Timberlake is now part owner of the Memphis Grizzlies. That news came out about a couple hours ago. Kind of interesting. That doesn't really mean anything, but I guess he chose the Grizzlies out of all teams. Interesting news. I forgot what city it was. Yeah, Colorado, actually. It was in the district that the kid was in. They banned the number 13, 14, 18, and the reverse numbers, the 31, 41, 81. So they banned those numbers because it's associated with gang signs and gang members and whatnot. And a kid wore a number 18 Peyton Manning jersey to school, and he was sent home to change because they said that it was part of a gang sign. The rule was set about 3 years ago, and I guess they're taking it to heart. So just kind of stupid, I guess, but whatever. That was just the news out of Colorado today. Yeah, Goodell even came out today saying, the commissioner of the NFL said that the officials did a pretty good job, so I guess he was satisfied with that. And in college news, the University of Oregon is implementing random drug testing for all athletes after an ESPN The Magazine report earlier this year estimated that between 40 and 60% of the football team smoked marijuana. So it looks like they're going to be doing that. I don't know why they don't do that. I don't know how much it costs, really, but I mean, I would assume a large part of, you know, all athletes smoke marijuana. It's just how it is. But we'll see if that affects them, because if they do test them and they test positive, they're going to have to yank them. So I will see how that is. Scary news out of Oakland. Next pitcher, Brandon McCarthy, he is alert after having surgery for a skull fracture and brain contusion caused by a line drive. The Oakland right-hander was hit in the head Wednesday by a line off the bat of Eric Ibar of the Angels. Athletics said Thursday McCarthy was awake, resting comfortably in critical care unit of Bay Area Hospital and showing signs of improvement. So, scary. I mean, those line drives go up that super fast. And as a pitcher, you're kind of stuck in no man's land, leaning out. And he just got, you know, hit in the head with a line drive. Hopefully he'll be all right and can recover and get back to baseball. So we'll track his progress next week as well. We are following college football as well. And let's quickly talk about the rankings. They did change a little bit from last week. As you all know, USC was the number one ranking team last week. They did beat Hawaii by a pretty good margin, but they were jumped by Alabama, who beat a more impressive Michigan team. So the number one team in the nation is Alabama with 45 first-place votes. USC number two with 11 first-place votes, and LSU number four with four first-place votes. Number four is Oregon. Number five, Oklahoma. Number six is Florida State. Number seven, Georgia. Number eight, Arkansas. Number nine, South Carolina. And I guess tied with South Carolina is West Virginia. I suppose they're tied. What it says in the USA Today poll, Arkansas is behind South Carolina at number 10. And the AP Top 25 are tied. Whatever, so they're all both on the top 10 either way. Number 11, Michigan State. Number 12, Clemson. Number 13, Wisconsin. Number 14, Ohio State. Number 15, Virginia Tech. Number 16, Nebraska. Number 17, Texas. Number 18 is Oklahoma State. Number 19 is Michigan. Number 20 is TCU. 21, Kansas State. 22, Notre Dame. 23 is Louisville. Florida makes it in the top 25 at number 24, and Stanford rounds out with the top 25. Boise State looking in, Tennessee, Brigham Young, North Carolina, they're all probably in the top 30, but they're not ranked as of this week. I'm just looking into some big matchups this weekend. University of Central Florida plays at Ohio State. Miami Hurricanes play at Kansas State. NC State plays at UConn. Penn State continues their season. They play at Virginia. Auburn at Mississippi State. Other important matchups. A lot of these big market teams don't play huge teams, so I don't really consider it a big matchup at all. USC plays at Syracuse, Michigan State at Central Michigan. That should be an easy game for them. Purdue at Notre Dame. Florida plays at Texas A&M. Wisconsin, number 13, Wisconsin, plays at Oregon State. Fresno State plays at Oregon. For you Florida International fans out there, they're playing at home against Akron to start out their season. And pretty much all the big games going on. Nebraska plays at UCLA. Georgia plays at Missouri. Oklahoma State plays at Arizona. And Duke plays at Stanford. Duke, one of those teams you think about really in basketball. They demolished FIU last week. Duke is actually a pretty good team in football, too. I think they're on the rise. So look out for them to have a big year. But that is your NCAA update. And we don't have Hootie on the air today, so I'll take care of the tennis and the golf. But, yeah, this is the same. We talk about golf and tennis. They are important. So I should throw it on here. Just really quickly in the golf, there's the BMW Championship right now. And last few tournaments, Tiger Woods has played really good. He just the others are playing a lot better. He's getting close. As of right now, the first round is complete. There's a three-way tie. Bo Van Pelt, Webb Simpson, Rory McIlroy are tied. And Graham Deliot are all tied at the top with a -8. Eight under. One back is Tiger Woods, 7 under, tie with Vijay Singh. At 6 under, Ryan Palmer, Ryan Moore, and Luke Donald. And at 5 under, you have Jimmy Walker, Zach Johnson, Robert Garrigus, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, and Ben Crane. So 3 more days of the championship going on. So we'll see if Tiger Woods can continue to play impressive golf and see if he can come out with a win. So we'll keep it updated next week on the show. And on the tennis side, the U.S. Open is going on right now. We had Roger Federer and Marty Fish played. Federer won. And then Nicolas Amargo and Thomas Berdych advanced. Andy Murray and Milos Raonic. Murray swept him pretty easily. Martin Kilzan and Marin Cilic. Marin Cilic from Croatia won that one pretty easily. I knew I should have kept it simple, but these names are not easy. Janko Tisperovic from Serbia and Filip Kolsterberg. Janko Tisperovic won that one. And then going on to the last three sets, the last three matches, David Ferrer beat Richard Gasquet from France to advance to yesterday's, I believe it was yesterday's matches and today's matches. And also advancing was Juan Martin Del Potro beating Andy Roddick, which is obviously big news. Andy Roddick saying before the U.S. Open started that he was going to retire after the Open. So I was definitely pulling for him to win his last match. But after falling, he did retire. And he had it was a heartwarming, ending in his interview, but it was cool. But, yeah, he is done with golf. I explained last week he was only about 30 years old. A lot of career winnings of about $22 million. He just said he was done. So he wasn't, he wasn't ranked very high. And I guess he just felt that he wasn't going to get back on top. So, some people are like that. Some people like to play on until they can't physically play anymore, like Brett Favre. But Andy Roddick said enough's enough. So he's done with tennis. And last one was Novak Djokovic beating Stanislas Wawrinka in 3 sets. Nope. And after those advances, there's 4 matches, 3 matches complete, and Roger Federer loses to Thomas Berdych. So Berdych advances to play Andy Murray. Andy Murray beating Marin Cilic in 4 sets, and those two will play, I'm assuming, tomorrow. And on the other side, David Ferrer beat Janko Tisperovic. And he will face the winner of Novak Djokovic and Juan Martin Del Potro. So we'll see how that goes. And I'll keep you guys updated next week, obviously, how the U.S. Open finishes. All right? So that is your golf and tennis updates for today. Moving on to my NFL segment. This week is the start of the season. It officially started last night with the Giants hosting the Cowboys. And before I get into all of that, last week I did have my power rankings. So I'm going to play that clip for you guys now. And after that, we'll talk about my predictions from last week, and I'll get you guys caught up with the schedules and times of the games coming on Sunday.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
One thing, the Zen Man officially has his power rankings. I went for the top 10. And I was like, you know what, it's weak. Go for the top 32. And I have a top 32 power rankings. If you saw me on Facebook, you got the taste of the bottom 16. And that's where I'm gonna kick it off. Leave the suspicion if I go from the bottom. And here's my power rankings so far. Let's kick it off at number 32. I had the Jacksonville Jaguars. At number 31, Kansas City. At number 30, I have St. Louis. 29, I do have Indianapolis. Andrew Luck is a good quarterback, but they were on a really bad team last year, and they haven't proven anything yet. At number 28, I have Tennessee. 27, I have the Cleveland Browns. At 26, I have Tampa Bay. At 25, I have Minnesota. At 24, the Miami Dolphins. I tried to put them as high as I could, but I just couldn't find a higher spot than that. Number 23, I have the Oakland Raiders. Number 22, the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals, I have a lot of faith in them, but they haven't even picked a quarterback yet, so it's really hard for me to put them any higher. 21, I have Seattle. At number 22, I have the Washington Redskins. Number 19, your Buffalo Bills. At number 18, I have the Denver Broncos. 17, I have the San Diego Chargers. At number 16, the New York Jets. At number 15, Cincinnati Bengals. At 14, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 13, the Dallas Cowboys. At number 12, the Atlanta Falcons. At number 11, Chicago Bears. And my top 10 goes like this. Number 10, the New York Giants. Number 9, Detroit Lions. Number 8, the Carolina Panthers. Number 7, the Houston Texans. Number 6, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 5, the Saints. 4, the Patriots. At 3, the Ravens. 2, the 49ers. And yes, at number 1, the Green Bay Packers. And those are my power rankings. And obviously, Dallas will move up my power rankings for next week for sure. I had the Giants at number 10 and the Cowboys at 13. And being at New York, which is interesting, they said, well, no, the last 8 teams to win the Super Bowl and then open on the first game of the year have all won at home. And the Giants failed to do so last night. And just really quickly, let's talk about that game, and then we'll get into my predictions for next for the Sunday's games. Tony Romo played very well. After the first half, I didn't see much good production from him, but he finished the game 22-29 with 307 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 pick. Eli Manning wasn't so good. He was 21-32, 213 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. He just didn't look impressive to me. And I know everybody wants to say that they're champions, but he's won 2 championships off a wild card spot, but they had a mediocre season, so he's never really proved himself in the regular season. So I don't know why he would do well this year. I'm sure he has tons of confidence, but he just, I would agree that he plays well with the back against his wall, why he steps into the playoffs very well, but he just never been a regular season type of player. Rushing, DeMarco Murray played very well, 20 attempts, 131 yards, and he had one that went for 48 yards, which was a very, very good run. Romo, 5 for 12. And that was really all the rushing that Dallas had. For the Giants, Bradshaw was all right. 17 attempts for 78 yards with 1 touchdown. He had a 33-yard run. And Wilson came in, but he only had 2 carries, 4 yards. I believe he had a fumble as well. The surprise today was Ogletree from the Cowboys. 8 receptions, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. 1 went for 40 yards. And And I believe he's been in the league 4 years, what they said, and he's never actually got a touchdown. So he got two last night, which is cool. The other touchdown went to Miles Austin. And Dez Bryant had a good game, too. 4 catches, 85 yards for him. Jason Witten only had 2 catches for 10 yards. Giants, Victor Cruz was definitely a big person to blame here. He's arguably their best wide receiver. And he only had 6 catches for 58 yards. He dropped a lot of catches, and I think you blame a lot of that on him, the loss. Hickson had 3 catches for 55 yards. Bennett, 4 for 40. Hakeem Nicks, 4 for 38. And Bradshaw had 2 for 15 yards. And so, yeah, that was your stats from that game. Dallas went in 24-17. The score was pretty much 3-0 throughout the first half. Dallas scored a touchdown close to the end of the first half and then turned it on in the third and had a 14-point lead towards the ending, about 5 minutes left in the game. So they really played well. My prediction was 31-20 Giants. Towards the start of the game, I actually had thought that it would be a really close game. At worst, I thought the Giants would win by a field goal. But I really thought the Cowboys would come out and play well, and they did. The rest of my predictions look like this. I think the Bears will beat the Colts 27-16 at home. Falcons at Chiefs, I think the Falcons win 31-18. Eagles at Browns, I think the Eagles win 41-22. Redskins at Saints, I think the Saints win at 27-24. I know the Saints are a good home team, but all the missing players and the shakeups and no coach, I don't know. I think the Redskins put up a fight, but I think the Saints win a close one. They play really, really good at home, but they can also be a little inconsistent here and there. And obviously Jonathan Vilma, their leader on defense, will not be playing at all this season. Lions, I think, win 38-17 at home against the Rams. Patriots, 31-20 at Tennessee. Jaguars at Vikings, I think the Vikings win 27-10. Bills at the Jets, I really don't know about the Jets yet. I think the Bills win 34-21 in New York. Dolphins at Texans, I think it'll be a close game, but there's no way the Dolphins win. Texans always beat them. So I think they went 30-24. Seahawks at Cardinals. Seahawks just looks like a better team right now. A few more pickups. Wilson looks pretty good. The Cardinals still don't know who they're going to have for quarterback. They're going to probably play Skelton. But, you know, there's so much question about that. So we'll see what happens. I think the Seahawks win a close one. 49ers at Packers, my upset of the week. If you can call it upset, but you do have the best team at home here. I think the 49ers win by a field goal, 38-35. Panthers at Buccaneers. Panthers should have a big year this year. Buccaneers should not have a good year this year. So I think Panthers win by 2 touchdowns, 38-24. Steelers at Broncos. I don't see either one of these teams having a great year, especially the Steelers. I just don't see Mendenhall hasn't really shown much the last few years. They lost Hines Ward. I don't know how the team's going to play. Mike Wallace has been holding out until just recently. But I think the Broncos win this one 24-18 at home. The Bengals at the Ravens, I think the Ravens won 31-24. And Raiders, Chargers, I think the Chargers won 33-25. That's in Oakland. So those are my predictions for the rest of the weekend. And just so you guys know, I have more this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. My 30-minute show, the most NFL pregame show. So I'll be definitely getting into more of my predictions then, my injury reports, and fantasy predictions, all that good stuff. So stay tuned. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. That's my first edition for the NFL season. So we make sure I'll have that every Sunday morning for you guys. And just really quick, my surprise teams of the year. I thought I'd throw that in there. My surprise teams, I think, will be the Seahawks, the Chargers, and the Panthers. I know it's easy to pick the Panthers. They had a good year last year, but they didn't have a good record. The Chargers never have a good year. They have a lot of talent. I think Phillip Rivers is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league. They're bound to have a playoff run, and I'm picking this year. The Seahawks and the Cardinals both look very well. I thought they both have a great year this year, but like I said, the Cardinals still don't have a firm hold on that quarterback position. All the money went to Kevin Cobb, and he's just not performing, so Skelton should get the start over there. But I just don't like the team right now. The Seahawks, I don't know, they have a good defense. I think they have a lot of confidence. I like that team. And that division that they're in, I think they'll have a playoff run. My disappointments, I think it will be the Steelers. They always are up there with a lot of wins, 11, 12 wins, but I just don't know where they're going to get it from this year. So I just don't see them winning a lot of games, maybe miss the playoffs. Broncos, I think Peyton Manning is a good quarterback, but I don't know. I just don't see them going anywhere this year. we'll see if Peyton Manning can prove me wrong. And like I said, the Cardinals, I think, will be disappointed, only because they won, I believe, 9 of the last 10 coming into the finishing last season, looking to have a promising year. But that quarterback position, the most important position you can have, is just not showing me any promising signs. So, you know, we'll see how they're shaping up. And on Sunday, this is what your schedule will be looking like. Sunday at 1 o'clock, you have Indianapolis at Chicago, Philly at Cleveland, St. Louis at Detroit, Miami at Houston, Atlanta at Kansas City, Jacksonville at Minnesota, Washington at New Orleans, Buffalo at New York Jets, the New England Patriots at the Tennessee Titans. Those are all your 1 o'clock games. At 4:25, you have the Seahawks at the Cardinals, San Francisco at Green Bay, Carolina at Tampa Bay. You have one Sunday night game at 8:20, Pittsburgh at Denver. And remember, Ryan Clark, the safety for Pittsburgh, will not be playing in that game because it's at Denver. It's Mile High Stadium, and he has sickle cell anemia, which means he cannot be at high altitudes, which is the reason that same player did not play in the first round of the playoffs last year, the same matchup, same location, and he was not allowed to play because of the, you know, he cannot play in that one club, that one stadium, being at Mile High in Colorado. So he's going to have to sit that one out. Two Monday night games this week. 7 o'clock, Cincinnati at Baltimore. And at 10:15, it'll be San Diego at Oakland. They have San Diego favored by 1.5. I guess, you know, they're on the road, but I think San Diego's going to win by a lot of points in that one. Oakland has Carson Palmer. Darren McFadden has been out for a while. He should be healthy, but who's to say he's going to come out right away and be productive? Also, news on the Jacksonville Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew. He's not going to be the starter for the first couple weeks. He should get some playing time. He's not projected a lot in fantasy. So it'll be a few weeks till he starts getting back productive. He is the main running back for sure, but he's going to have to get into game shape and prove himself a little bit before he gets out there.
Not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
That is your cue for the stat of the week. And today I have for you average ticket prices for the Jets. The Jets have the highest average ticket price of $117.84. Patriots right behind them at $117.74. So those two high average ticket prices, you're factoring in sidelines, nosebleeds, everything. And just a very interesting stat, which, I mean, some people might feel it's amazing, but I guess the Jets, I mean, they only play 8 home games a year. You know, they have a huge, not only a fan base, but in a huge city. They have sold out every game since 1984. So if you do the math, that's like 28 years of solid selling out every single game. It's crazy. But everybody likes football, so that's how it is. I'm sure they sell out almost all the Yankees games, which is amazing, so they play almost every day. And they have expensive ticket prices as well. So just interesting. And that's pretty much all I have for you guys on football. And I guess I'll move into my baseball really quickly. It is September 6th, and the season ends about 31st, maybe the 1st of October, right around there. And obviously, all of October is playoffs. As you guys know, there are 30 teams in baseball, and there's only 8 playoff spots. This year, there are technically 10. And there's been some arguments about the wild card team. There's 3 divisions in each league, and the division winner gets a playoff spot. And whoever's left of all the teams that did not make the playoffs, whoever has the best record wins the wild card. And they go from there. But this year they have the top 2 wild card teams, and then they play 1 game to see who wins the official wild card, which technically you know, means that there's five spots in the playoffs. Obviously, it's good because it gives more chance to other teams, but at the same time, you think about it. Now, I'm sure the number four team, the number five team battling it out for that wild card spot are going to probably be very close in standings, but you have maybe you have a team that's 10 games ahead of the other team, but they have the equal advantage. I don't know. I just don't understand why you, in, you know, basketball, you have most of the teams in the league actually make the playoffs with 16 teams out of, I believe it's 30 as well. But in baseball, you only have eight, I guess now technically 10. I don't see why you can't have a three-game series, maybe six. I've always thought about having six. You know, why not have three wildcard spots, have the first two teams get a bye at the top, bottom four, just like football. You know, I like football. It's not too many teams. It's not too little teams. Everybody has a chance. I understand baseball's really been one of those sports. You know, with home run, dimensions are different in every park, and, you know, they don't have to replay, really. They're starting to get that in just from home runs, and I know they're trying to keep things all the time, but they got to kind of move up a little bit. You know, you have a team that battles all year long, 162 games, and the chances are they're not going to make the playoffs, so I just don't like it, especially with the amount of high-market teams that are always going to make the playoffs. You know, the Red Sox, who actually aren't going to make it this year, the Yankees, teams like that. And you should, you know, do as much as you can to give the other teams a shot just to keep the sport going, because eventually there's going to be teams that aren't going to make the playoffs for years and years and years, and they're just going to lose their fan base. And, you know, they're going to lose money income, and they have to ship out the teams. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but that, you know, stuff like that does happen. But whatever, that's how it is going to be this year. Next year, the big change will be, instead of having 16 teams in the National League, and 14 teams in the American League, there will be 15 and 15. The Houston Astros will be moving out of the 16 NL Central to the 14 AL West, making every single division five teams. And since there will be an odd number of teams in each league, every single day, every single week, there's going to be a series, interleague series. Since there's not an even amount of teams in each league, they're going to have at least one series that's interleague all year long. Just, you know, just think about that. But moving into, as of right now, and the current standings, starting off with the American League East, and there is a tie in first place. Baltimore, 77-60, tie with the Yankees at 77-60 as well. Those two are tied, and this is the longest since in the 80s, since Baltimore's even been in this position this late of the year. I'm ready for them, to be honest with you. I've never been a Yankees fan. I just don't like high-market teams. And it's not their fault. You know, they don't have rules, really, and they have so much money coming in, they can do whatever they want. But it doesn't make any sense to me why you can spend $300 million on one team and other teams only have $40, $50 million to spend, and yet they're all competing for the same prize in a professional sport. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't want to blame the Yankees too much because, I mean, they're playing within the rule book, but, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. But I like these small market teams like Baltimore doing things, so see if they can keep it up. They're definitely in line for a wild card at the very least. We'll get into that after the standings. Tampa Bay still on the hunt as well in this American League East, 2 games back. Boston, 14.5 games back. Toronto, 15.5 games back. Those two are definitely done. In the AL Central, the White Sox only have a 1-game lead on Detroit. Kansas City, Cleveland, Minnesota are far back, so it'll be a really tight race here between the White Sox and the Tigers. See how that ends. In the AL West, Texas has a 5.5 game lead. And I believe, no, they do not have the best record in baseball. They have the third best record in baseball, 82-55. But Oakland, 5.5 back. Oakland should be in line for a wild card. The Angels, 8 back. In the National League, the Nationals just continue winning. They have the best record of baseball, 85-52, a 620 winning percentage. This is an amazing year. I believe Strasburg has one, maybe two starts left. His next start will be the Marlins. I'm not sure if that was today, but I'll check that out. But, yeah, they're 85-52. Atlanta still impressive, 78-60. They're 7.5 back, though, in the division lead. Philly 19 back, the Mets 20 back, and the Marlins are just not having a good year. They're 24 and a half back. So their season is all but over. In the NL Central, Cincinnati, 83-55. The St. Louis Cardinals, their defending world champs, are 8.5 back in that division. Pittsburgh, 10 games back. And Pittsburgh's been the whole story all year long. Andy McCutchen leading the league all year in the average. Now, you know, I'm not sure about their playoff chances. I'll check to see where they are on the wild card. And the last division, the NL West, San Francisco, 77-60. They're just gaining ground on the Dodgers, and it's amazing because San Fran hasn't really done anything this year. They actually lost Melky Cabrera with the drug testing for the rest of the year. And the Dodgers have gained Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, Hanley Ramirez, everybody else under the sun. And it's what I said earlier was that they're getting all these players, but these players haven't produced this year. Hanley has not played that well. That's why the Marlins were, you know, looking to get rid of him, especially since the Dodgers bought out his entire contract. You know, Adrian Gonzalez has been playing super good. Beckett's been having an off year. And so you see all these really good players on one team, but that doesn't mean that they're all going to click. And you still have to hope that they play better than they've been playing all year long, which, I mean, they haven't. So, yeah, because they're 4.5 games back, it's surprising. The San Francisco taking over that division. Arizona, 9.5 back. In your wild card standings look like this. Two teams are in the wild card for each league right now. Right now, obviously, there's a tie for the AL East, Baltimore and New York. So one of those teams holds the wild card spot as well. And Oakland technically is in the wild card too. Tampa's a game and a half out. Angels are three and a half games. Those are the only teams that are even close. Outside of that, Seattle's 10 back. In the National League wild card race, Atlanta, St. Louis are in the wild card. Pittsburgh's only a game and a half back, as well as the Dodgers. And then outside of that, you have the Arizona Diamondbacks 6.5 back, Milwaukee 7. Philadelphia is only 8 games back, surprisingly. I mean, if you think about last year, obviously the Red Sox and the Braves had a huge collapse, and both didn't make the playoffs. And it was very similar to this, but I mean, just weird to see Philly only 8 back in the playoffs. They've had a horrible year. They've had 9 back, but it's probably going to be between Atlanta, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and L.A. Dodgers, that is. So we'll see. Obviously, next week will be even closer to the end of the playoffs, so we'll keep you guys updated with that as well. Your stat leaders at this point, obviously, big awards to give out until the season's over. Like I said, last year, to be eligible to win the batting title, you have to have at least 502 at-bats. As of right now, Melky Cabrera does lead in average in all of baseball, but he only has 459 at-bats. He's not going to get any more because he's suspended, so he's not going to be eligible for that average lead. So it really means nothing that he's leading all of baseball. But looking in the AL, Miguel Cabrera is actually he's tied with Mike Trout from the Angels at 330. It's amazing that he does this. And he's leading in RBIs, I believe, and average. It's an insane combo. Adrian Beltre, 318. Derek Jeter, 318. Daniel Murphy from Texas, 317. Joe Mauer, 315. Prince Fielder, 314. And Billy Butler from the Royals is 313. And also the AL, the home run leaders, Adam Dunn and Josh Hamilton both have 38 homers. Encarnacion, 37. Cabrera, 35. Granderson, 34. And Josh Willingham, 33. And your RBI leaders, I think Cabrera is probably leading. Yeah, Miguel Cabrera is leading with 116 RBIs. That's just insane to be leading in those two categories. I mean, that's a triple crown threat, home runs, RBIs, and average. If he can, he's only 3 back on home runs from winning the triple crown, now that I think about it. So we'll see if he can do that. That'd be crazy. Obviously, Miguel Cabrera is a former Marlin, so, you know, I do follow him a lot. Josh Hamilton, only 2 back with 114 RBIs. Willingham with 98, Encarnacion 95, Prince Fielder 94, and Albert Pujols with 93 RBIs. So he's still doing big things. Albert Pujols is having an okay year, 287 average, 29 homers, 93 runs batted in. Not atop the league like he normally is, but he's still having a successful year. Just not hearing much about him. And just really quickly in the NL, your average leaders, Andrew McCutchen, 345. And then 20 points back is Buster Posey, 325. Yadier Molina, 323. David Wright, 313. And Ryan Braun at 311. Your home run leaders look like this. Ryan Braun, 37. Five back is Jay Bruce from Cincinnati with 32. John Carlos Stanton, which I will say it 100 times, I think he's had the best year at home runs, but 30. He's only played 108 games, where Ryan Braun, 129 games, Jay Bruce, 132. Stanton still has 30 home runs. That's crazy. Adam LaRoche from Washington, 29 home runs. Carlos Beltran, 28. And with 27, Jason Kubel, Corey Hart, and Alvarez from Pittsburgh are tied for 27 home runs. And in RBIs, nobody has over 100 in the National League. Ryan Braun, 99. Chase Headley, 94. Jay Bruce, 93. Holiday LaRoche with 92. So those are your RBI leaders for the National League so far. Just really quickly, though, your pitching stats. Just really quick, Johnny Cueto, 258 ERA in leads. The National League, R.A. Dickey, 264 ERA. Kershaw, 279. Your wins leaders are R.A. Dickey, 18-4. Gio Gonzalez for the Nationals, 18-7. And Johnny Cueto, 17-7. And surprisingly, A.J. Burnett, former Marlin, is 15-5 this year with a 363 ERA. And Strasburg has 15 wins as well. Your strikeout leaders so far from the National League, Clayton Kershaw, 201. R.A. Dickey, 195. Strasburg with 195, and Gio Gonzalez with 185, Cole Hamels 179, and really quickly in the AL, strikeout leaders Justin Verlander and Matt Scherzer for the Tigers leading the way. Verlander 209, Scherzer 204, Felix Hernandez has a 191 strikeouts, Yu Darvish, possible rookie of the year for the Texas Rangers, 188, and James Shields for Tampa Bay with 181. Your wins leaders so far in the American League, David Price, 17 wins. He's 17-5. Jared Weaver, 16-4. Harrison and Chris Sale both have 15 wins. Harrison, 15-9. Chris Sale, 15-6. Matt Scherzer, 15-6 as well. Yu Darvish, 14-9 with Justin Vargas from Seattle. And the last thing is the ERA leaders for the American League. Felix Hernandez, 251. He's my Cy Young Award favorite. David Price, 254. Verlander, 273. Weaver, 286. And Chris Sale, 293. So those are your up-to-date pitching stats for baseball right now. And the last thing I want to get into really quickly is your weekend schedules. Friday, Saturday, Sunday looks like this. Cubs at Pirates, Rockies at Phillies, Marlins at Nationals. So far, those three are not really important. Too bad. Yankees at Orioles will be a huge series. Orioles at home to try to take a big lead in that division. Braves at the Mets. Normally, it's a huge race. Braves need the wins. Mets don't. Astros at Reds, Rangers at Rays, the Blue Jays at the Red Sox, Indians at Twins, Royals at White Sox, Brewers at Cardinals, the D-backs at the Padres, Tigers at Angels, Athletics at Mariners, and the Dodgers at the Giants. If the Dodgers want to gain some ground in the NL West, they need to start winning some games. Beating the Giants would be huge for them. And just really quickly, I wanted to check out the scores today, which normally don't because it's a weekly radio show and only covers daily scores. Yeah, the series for New York and Baltimore started today, and that's why they are tied. Baltimore beating the Yankees 10-6. Looks like a crazy eighth inning. The Yankees putting up five in the eighth, but the Baltimore rallying and putting four up in the eighth as well, winning 10-6. Marlins did beat the Brewers 6-2 to close out that series. I believe tomorrow is Strasburg start. I'll check it out in a second. Washington beating the Cubs 9-2. Rangers at Royals 5-4 win for the Rangers. And those are all, and the Braves winning 1-0 over the Rockies. And I know tomorrow the Marlins and the Nationals play, and it will be Strasburg tomorrow. I guess it depends on how many innings he pitches, whether he'll pitch another start or not. We'll keep an eye on that. I think his innings were 164. They said about two starts, one or two starts. So I think that that depends on how many innings he's pitched so far. And Strasburg has 156.1 innings pitched. So I guess if he stays under eight innings, he'll be fine. And so, yeah, he just has to watch that. And that's all I have for baseball for you guys today. The last thing that I want to get into today is my final thought. I just want to give this out to Arthur Modell. He just passed away. Age 87, excuse me. Yeah, he was a longtime owner of the Cleveland Browns from 1961 to 1995. Also owned the Baltimore Ravens from 1996 to 2004. He's been a huge part of football, and it's going to be a great loss. So he died today, actually. So I just want to say rest in peace to him and to all the families out there hurt by this. So say rest in peace. And with that, I just want to say thank you all for listening in. Make sure you guys join me Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for my Cardinals NFL pregame show. But I'll get to you guys on that show, my injury reports, my predictions. I will have my scores, but there will be no scores this week. I'll get to my previous week scores following weeks, obviously. I'll also have my fantasy predictions, all that good stuff, because I am a big fantasy guy, and a lot of you guys want some want some help with that. I don't mind helping out. And with that, Hootie did not join me today, so no problem. Hope to have him on next week. Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock, I believe, is the Dreaded Sports Talk with Captain Frank and Dread, so join him then. Obviously, every Thursday night will be the Southern Most Sports Wrap with the Zen Man and Hootie. With that, I want to say good luck to all your NFL teams out there. Good luck to all your fantasy teams out there. I like my fantasy teams, I'll be honest with you. I have yet to win a fantasy football championship. I've won a few NBA fantasy championships. I just need that elusive fantasy football championship. So it starts yesterday, I guess. So with that, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next week.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Wayne for the run. Lobs to the east, strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from the eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
Hanley drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer, at the wall, gone! My goodness, an absolute bomb!
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling at a fender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.